Morning. It's been wonderful preaching, and I thank God for it. First thing I'd like to do is commend Macedonia Church for your building. I had seen it before today, and I kind of like it. And I think you probably do too, and I'm thankful for you. I've been a little bit Brother Harold got me a little bit confused this morning. I've been having a problem for about 13 or 14 months. And the last week, I had determined that I had it solved. And now I don't know where it's of the flesh or the spirit. The sleep that I get is sweet, but sometimes that problem wakes me up at night and I don't get as much sleep as I would love to. I read to you this morning from the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews and the 20th verse. I just want one thought out of this verse before I go further. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now there's far more in that verse than I would ever be able to preach out, but the thought that I want you to get from it right now is the everlasting covenant. We as Primitive Baptists believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit entered into a covenant, an agreement, before the foundation of the world was created to save the bride of Christ from their sins. And I believe that that covenant can be summed up completely and almost thoroughly in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And I'll go there and I'll read that to you before I endeavor to begin to try to speak from what's on my, I trust, on my mind. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, begin reading at the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Before I go to the 29th verse, I would like to say that I believe that the all things that are under consideration in this verse will be found in the next verse. I do not believe in the predestination of all things. I do not believe that everything that happens to God's children works together for their good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. I got a kick out of a preacher down in Macon, serves one of the mega churches down there. And he was preaching on election and predestination to his congregation. He was having a hard time. And he'd come to the word predestination. He said, predestination. He just couldn't get it out. That's not the way it is among us, is it, brother? We love to preach predestination. Or at least I do. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You believe that? What I think that means is that God prearranged beforehand that you and I, as his children, were going to be conformed to the image of his Son, and it's coming to pass. Because God's working it. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now that's what I want to try to preach on just a little while this morning, if you'll pray for me and the Lord bless me. Those that he predestinated, he called. The calling of God is very vital. God is going to call everyone that he predestinated and give them eternal life through that call while they live here in the world. The application of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be applied to the sinner, and he's going to receive the righteousness of Christ and be declared righteous. I want to go to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John to find some of these calls. And I know that everyone here probably knows exactly where I'm headed. John 5 and 25. Now some of these I could quote, but I don't quote much scripture because I'm like Brother Harold, I'm getting a little old and I want to make sure I get it right, you know. You could leave one little word out of a verse and change the entire meaning out of it, you know. So I'm going to read it. Sometimes my reading is not perfect, but I get pretty close. John 5 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, what's he talking about now? What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about those that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world are going to hear his voice. And they're going to live. Yeah. Right now, those are dead in trespassing sins. He's not talking about here bringing somebody from the grave. He's talking about those of his that are dead in trespassing sins. That's right. And cannot receive spiritual things. Paul tells us that very plainly in 1 Corinthians. That the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. First, they're foolishness to him. And then he cannot know them because he's spiritually... Listen, he doesn't have a spiritual receiver. The best explanation I ever heard of that came from Brother Sonny Piles about 40 years ago. Brother Sonny Piles was preaching our annual meeting at Cool Springs Church in Danville, Georgia, and he said, in this building, there are music just floating around everywhere and pictures everywhere. But he said, I can't hear him and you can't hear him. He said, I can't see him and you can't see him. He said, you know why? We don't have a receiver. But he said, if we'd have plugged the television up or radio and turn it on, then we could hear what's in this room. The natural man cannot receive the spiritual things of God because he doesn't have the ability to do it.
That's right.
And that's the reason Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when they shall hear my voice and live. The dead in trespass and sin. Every one of them is going to live now. Don't think somebody's going to be left out. Don't think Jesus is going to forgive them. Don't think Jesus don't know where they're at. He knows exactly where they are. And he's going to call every one of them from death and sin to life. And you know what? When he calls them, they're going to know something happened. Well, at least I did. This old boy used to go to church and not enjoy it one bit. No. That went on in my life for a pretty good while now. Sam, he was the baby in the crowd. He was called by God first, I guess. I think he started preaching when he was 15. That wasn't the way it was with me. You brother, talk about your sinners. Brother Harry, you don't have nothing on me. I remember, and I'm not proud of it, I could have cussed a sailor. And I remember very distinctly the first morning that I got up out of the bed. I knew something had happened, but I didn't know what. Someone was supposed to pick me up and take me to work. And I'm a person that can't stand to be late. And he was late. And I tried to curse, standing before the window. And I could not. Oh God, I thank you for your grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, thank God that his grace does save wretches. Can you imagine that some people want to take the word wretch out of that song? Oh, my Lord. Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is. Jesus is getting the job done right now. When the last child of God is born into this world and the voice of Jesus calls him from death and sin to life, I believe it'll be over. Now go with me to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 37th verse. All that the Father give to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day.
Amen.
He's not going to lose one that was given to him in that covenant of grace before the world was created. Every one of them, one day for the house, shall stand before him and be told, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is God's business, and God is taking care of it. You and I ought to take care of our business, too. And we do have some. I think I missed one. I'm not sure. Nope. Now I want to go to the 10th chapter. Let's see. I told Brother Ryan, go ahead and take time. I don't usually preach too long. But don't take too long to preach. You know? I found that out a long time ago. Brother Cecil Darty charged me when I was ordained. And he said, Brother Dan, get up, preach up, and shut up. And I've been trying to do it. I don't run many rabbits. I don't know how to run rabbits. No, I ain't a dog. 10th chapter, the 16th verse. I love this verse. You don't ever hear it used very much. Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's talking about bringing the Gentiles into the fold. He says, there'll be one fold and one shepherd. There'll be no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to hear my voice just like a Jew does. They had all through the ages anyhow.
That's right.
You know, I run into a man not one time that told me, said, you know, in the Old Testament times, said people were not born again. Man, I tell you what the truth. I got upset. That's enough to upset you. I said, well, what you mean? He said, well, I said, there's going to be a new covenant in our day. New covenant. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. The only difference you see between this covenant and the one in Jeremiah that Brother Ron is talking about is they shall not teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. Everything else is the same. But you and I are not instructed today to teach every man to know the Lord like they were.
That's right.
But they were born of the Spirit of God and called by God's grace, and the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to them before it was ever shed. Let's go now to the 27th verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of his hand. You get that? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give them to them what? Eternal life. And not one of them is ever going to lose it. Why? Because my Father which gave them me is greater than all.
Amen.
Man, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's amazing grace supplied to the house. That's a plie.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. They hear my voice, and I know them. I give them eternal life. Is that what you want? Brother Ronnie said something yesterday. I hadn't got it. He quoted a portion of the scripture this morning. He said somebody asked him one time. He asked somebody, said, how you doing? The man said, any day above ground is pretty good. I believe that was you that said that. But you know, that's not really right, is it? Not according to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
To die is gain.
Right.
You know, I like gain things, don't you? I don't think I'll mind dying. I might get there when I get scared. I don't know. I'm resting in the love of Jesus Christ. Isn't that some wonderful love, isn't it? Now I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians, a verse that I think kind of demonstrates in our lives something that takes place when we're born of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians, I'll begin reading at the 11th verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. You already had plenty of that. But we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, when we're born of the Spirit of God, we're given the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we can truly lay down at night and know that God is in control. You can sleep like that, can't you? You know, a few months back, I don't ever get afraid very much, you know. I'm just not a person that gets afraid. And my wife's not. But I just happened to be sitting, I come in the house and I was by myself. And I went to my study. And I do mechanic work sometimes in my study, you know. I got a lazy boy rocker in there and I put myself in it. So I was doing that and all of a sudden I heard a door slam. The door, it slammed hard. It started. I knew my wife wasn't there. And I got sprayed. I finally got my nerve together and I walked in. Got my gun, you know. I got one in my study now. But it dawned on me. When I'd come in, I'd left that door. And the wind, the vacuum from the wind, slammed that door. You can get upset over nothing sometimes. But listen. We have not received the spirit of the world. That was the spirit of the world, Brother Hunt, that scared me. I wasn't trusting in God. I got plenty of that. You have too. You may not want to admit it. I tell people sometimes, you're a sinner just as big as I am, but you may not know it. You know. Now you may not have done some of the things I've done, but you probably thought them. That which also we speak not in words and man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I thank God that He blessed me to be able to understand that His Son is still on the job. And everyone that He justified, I believe legally, when the Son of God bowed His head and said, "It's finished," I believe legally every elect child of God was justified in the sight of God. And no one will ever be able to condemn one of them. It's Christ that died, and Paul didn't leave it there. He said, "Yea, rather." I like that, "yea, rather," don't you? It's Christ that died, "yea, rather." He's risen again. The bread couldn't hold Him. And therefore you and I have the witness through the resurrection of the Son of God that all the elect family are justified and will someday live in heaven after this life is over. There's one more verse I want to go to. It's found in the book of Revelations. And it may be just a little bit rabbit chasing. I said I don't do it, Brother Ronnie. Y'all forgive me. Sometimes preachers do lie in the stand. I know that. I've heard preachers say I'm fixing to quit 5 times before they ever sit down. Have you ever heard that? I've heard it a lot of times. But I don't usually lie in the stand, but I may be. Chapter 1, Revelations. I've always said it. Lord, if you would just bless me one time to preach, I want this to be my text. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Brother, He was faithful, wasn't He?
Amen.
He was God's faithful witness. Every step of His way, He was doing the will of God. He was a faithful faithful witness. You know what a faithful witness will never do? He'll never tell a story.
That's right.
He'll always tell the truth.
Amen.
Jesus was not like some of his preachers. And the first begotten of the dead. He's the first begotten of the dead that won't ever die again.
That's right.
Now, there were several that were raised, but they had to go back, you know. He's the first begotten of the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth. He's our prince. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins.
Amen.
In his own blood. You're talking about a cleansing. God's children have been cleansed in the blood, the precious blood. The Apostle Peter thought it was precious, didn't he? He said, we're not saved with corruptible things such as silver and gold. They won't get the job done, Brother Hunt. 1,000,000 tons of gold and silver would never save one soul from hell. But the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross redeemed us from our sins and secured us a home in heaven after this life is over. I hope to see you there one day. I believe it will. Somebody said, what you going to look like? What you going to look like? I look like Dan Bryant now, don't I? I know what Jesus looked like when he came up out of the tomb. Now, he had to make himself known to some, but I believe he looked pretty much like Jesus. He had a glorified body.
Amen.
You ever thought about it? One day I walk through that door back on and won't have to open it. One day time won't mean a thing to me. Man, I get all upset sometimes about time, don't you? I don't have enough time in the day to do all the things I want to do. My wife and I moved out in the country after about 9 years in a condominium. Man, I didn't know I had it made. I didn't know how easy it was. Now I've got about 5 acres. All of it needs to be cut once a week. I don't know how many shrubs I've got. A lot of them. I just can't pay nobody to do it when I'm able to do it myself, you know. That's stupid. I run a rabbit den, doesn't it? I remember last year, Brother, I think it was Brother Lloyd, where I was at your church at the association. You remember I couldn't hardly get up the steps. I had a bad knee. I want to tell you how good God is. I had that thing operated on. I got up the next morning and said, thank you, Lord, the pain's gone. God is good, isn't he? I went home that same day, and I've been walking around ever since. Let me get you back to this thought. Everyone that Jesus Christ died for, every one of them he's going to call. And I will leave that thought in your mind, really. Not some personal thing. I want you to know him that everyone that Jesus Christ died for, he's going to call. And one day he's coming back. And we're going to hear some shouting. And we're going to go home. When you pray, remember me in your prayer.
Now in my life.